Welcome to Inspiration and Transformation from the Banks of the Ganga with Sadhvi Bhagwati Saraswati, an American sannyasi living at the Parmarth Nikatan Ashram in Rishikesh, India. Sadhvi is president of the Divine Shakti Foundation, a charitable organization bringing education, vocational training, upliftment, and empowerment programs to women and children. Sadhvi is also Secretary General of the Global Interfaith WASH Alliance and Director of the world-famous International Yoga Festival. Join the musings of an American sannyasi as Sadhvi shares the wisdom and teachings of her guru, His Holiness Pujya Swami Chidanand Saraswatiji.
Welcome, everyone, to Inspiration and Transformation from the Holy Banks of the sacred Ganga River in the land of Rishikesh, India. Even if I need something, I shouldn't necessarily expect that the world is going to give it to me. So I may need water. We all need water. I may need food. Most of us need food. But that doesn't mean that I should move through the world expecting that everyone I meet is going to give it to me. Or that somehow I am deserving of the bread in your hands just because I need food. So just because something is a need still doesn't mean that we should expect that those around us are going to provide it. If it is a need, it is up to us to provide it, because otherwise we are literally at the mercy, physically, emotionally, spiritually, of those around us. And that leads nowhere but frustration and misery, because sometimes they'll give it and sometimes they won't. And when they don't give it, then not only don't you get whatever that thing you needed was, but you're also depressed. You're frustrated, you're hurt, you're angry, you feel betrayed, you feel cheated. And so it's this domino effect of utter misery. Figure out, what do you need? Well, we need oxygen. Great. Plant trees. Don't cut them down. Stop buying things from factories that are cutting down forests to build their own factories. Stop eating meat where the Amazon rainforest is being clear cut at a truly scary rate to graze cows to become hamburgers. We need water. Great. So stop living in a way that is polluting, destroying the water on this planet. Protect the water. We need food. Great, again, protect the air, protect the soil, protect the water. Your food is protected. Our actions actually are the ones that are the insurance for what we need. We need shelter. Great. Make sure you make enough money to pay rent or build a house. Doesn't have to be a mansion, doesn't have to be a palace, but make sure that whatever you're doing, you're able to provide for yourself, or that you're in a place or with people you know are providing for you, that there's faith that you know. And then go up slowly, keep asking yourself, what really do I need? And what you'll realize is actually the truth is we don't really need that much. A lot of the things we think we need, we don't. And if we look deeply at the things we think we need, we get very, very clear at really what we need. So we need these few things to live. And beyond that, here's what we need. We need love. But that doesn't mean that we need people in our life to keep saying, I love you, I love you, I love you. Or, you're the best, you're perfect, you're wonderful. or to do whatever we say. We need to feel love within us. And that is something that we are capable of doing and empowered to do and full of the tools to do, regardless of what is happening in the world around us. Love is generated within. And so I may catalyze my internal love manufacturing plant through you. But it's not you who's actually giving me love. It's that through you, I've turned on my own internal love-making plant. I've opened up myself to that source of love within me. So love. Don't worry about who's loving you back. Find someone. Find something to love. Love the tree in your backyard. Love the bird sitting on the branch in the tree in your backyard. Love God in any name, any form. Love an animal. Have a pet if you don't have someone. Doesn't matter. Really doesn't matter. Because anyone, anything can catalyze turning on the love within us. And then once it's on, allow it. Allow it to just flow. Just keep loving. Love whatever you can. Love the trees. Love the leaves on the trees. Love the flowers blossoming from the leaves on the trees. Love all of nature. Love all of the divine. Love the people standing in front of you or behind you in line at the grocery store. Find something, something to love. We all need connection. But again, like love, it's not about getting people to do what I want or say what I want. It's not about a specific relationship. Ultimately, the connection that we all really need is a connection to the divine. The best relationships, the highest relationships, are relationships through which we experience God. So I may be experiencing God, loving God, through a husband, a wife, a mother, a father, a child, a sister, a brother, a friend, a tree. It doesn't matter. But that divine connection, that's why we meditate. To experience that connection within ourselves. Because ultimately, even if I begin through a relationship, really what it takes me into is the connection with the divine within myself. That's the deepest connection. Each evening on the banks of Ganga, when the Ganga Aarti is on, when we're not practicing our social distancing, Pooja Swamiji sings this beautiful, beautiful kirtan in which it says, Sabse Unchi Prem Sagai, the highest form of love is love for the divine. That highest connection is connection with the divine. And when I connect with the divine, I simultaneously connect with all of the creation. Like when you love someone, you love all the pictures of them. The same way when I love God, when I connect with God, I'm able to connect with God through all of the reflections of God, manifestations of God. So ask yourself really, what are my needs? You have some, but they're very few. And they're all ones that you're able to actually provide for yourself. So expect, but expect only of yourself. Don't expect of others. That which we get from others is grace. It's a gift. If it comes, wonderful. it doesn't come, also wonderful. Because then it's an opportunity to go back within. Oh, you were cheated or betrayed or abandoned or lied to by someone you had trusted. Well, yeah, it hurts. And it sends you right back inside. To who is there I can really trust? Who is there I can really depend on? God. And we keep trusting people in the world around us because we don't shut down our hearts. So we keep trusting no matter how much we get hurt. We keep opening our hearts. Keep loving, keep trusting, because everyone is a reflection of the divine. So expect of yourself, accept from others. Keep loving, keep loving, keep loving. And most of your needs will be met.
You're listening to OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single...
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Elia, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
Hi. This is Christina Ricci with RAIN. Every 2 minutes, another American is sexually assaulted. If you or someone you know has been sexually assaulted, you are not alone. Help is just a call or click away through the National Sexual Assault Hotline. Please call 1-800-656-HOPE, that's H-O-P-E, or visit RAIN.org, that's RAINN.org.
Brought to you by RAIN and this station.
Welcome back to Inspiration and Transformation. I'm so glad to have you all back here with me. We think that by not being vulnerable, by not being open, by not moving through the world from the place of soul, of spirit, because that's the only place from which I can see the divinity in others. My body sees body. My mind connects with mind. If I'm going to connect with the divinity, with the soul of another being, that's not going to come from my body or my intellectual mind. That's going to come from my soul. From me meeting that person. From soul. From spirit. From love. So, yeah, it's vulnerable. Yeah, it requires the heart to be open. But the truth really is that by having your heart closed, you're not protecting yourself. We think if I just don't open my heart, I won't get hurt. But the truth is that the suffocation, the absolute suffocation that we experience by having our hearts closed, is much more damaging than the pain that we may feel if we open our heart and someone takes advantage. And the truth is, that's what happens. Anybody who has lived their life with an open heart, lived their life from a place of openness, vulnerability, you know you get hurt sometimes. Hurt of experiencing the universe. It's a hurt of being alive. It's a hurt of being engaged and connected to life. The hurt that we experience when I'm not connected is a much worse hurt. It's a dungeon of my own creation in which I literally suffocate and wither and die. So we open our hearts, not with an expectation that we won't be hurt, because you will be hurt eventually. Not with an expectation that no one's going to take advantage of us. People will. They've all got their karmic packages they're dealing with. But we open our heart because we know I have taken birth in a human form to experience true freedom, true spiritual freedom and awakening. And I cannot do that with a closed, fearful heart. I cannot do that coming at the world, moving through the world from my body or from my intellectual mind. The only way for me to experience what I'm here to experience is from the place of soul. To drop into that truth of who I am and move through the world, experiencing the world from that place. And the truth is, actually, it's less vulnerable. And the reason it's less vulnerable is when I'm coming at a relationship from a place of my physical body, my identity, my personal history, or my mind, well, then it matters a lot how that person acts. Because I need them to act a certain way, to speak a certain way, to treat me a certain way, in order for me to hold on to this identity of I'm something. In order for me to hold on to the identity of this relationship. In order for me to feel okay about myself, I need that person to respond to me with love, with appreciation, with respect, with loyalty. But if I'm actually moving through the world as soul, as spirit, as divinity, as love, love unbounded, love unbridled, love unbordered or boundaried by this relationship, what I need from you, then the truth actually is I am less susceptible to getting hurt. Because even when people act in ways that may not be what I would have chosen if it had been up to me, even when the universe acts in ways that may not be what I would have chosen if I'd been given a choice, I don't collapse. I don't fall. Because I, the true I, the soul, the spirit I, the divinity I, is not wrapped up in how people are treating me, how they're speaking to me, who's approving, who's appreciating, who's complimenting. I'm not dependent on that. So the truth actually is that your real open-heartedness, your grounding and anchoring in divinity, is beautifully, ironically, your best inoculation against getting hurt by other people's actions or other people's words. And it's your only opportunity, your only way to actually experience what you're here for. So take the deep dive. Everyone who's ever done it has come back for more. Everyone who's ever done it has said it was the best choice they ever made. That open-hearted, spiritually connected, spiritually awake, absolutely courageous co-creation of our life is not only what we're here for, but it is the only way and the best way to experience that bliss, that love, that joy, that peace that we all want. So stop waiting. Stop worrying.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth Radio is conscious living for your soul, every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Mike Baldwin with People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. I grew up loving circuses and other traveling animal shows, but it never occurred to me what life might be like for the animals. Training wild animals to do things they don't understand takes force. Routine discipline with a hook or whip with the heel of a boot shows the animal exactly who's the boss. Don't patronize animal acts. Please contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
757-622-PETA.
Welcome back. This is Sadhvi Bhagavati Saraswati with inspiration and transformation. What is the key to maintaining balance in life? I think there are two keys to maintaining balance. Number one, realize that everything is a spiritual practice. Because most of us, when we speak about balance, the balance we talk about is this work-life balance, spiritual, family, career balance. And if we're trying to balance it timing-wise, if we're trying to say, well, I will spend this number of minutes meditating, this number of minutes working, this number of minutes at the gym, this number of minutes with my family, you can do it like that, but usually the minutes that we spend meditating or with our family always feel very less. The minutes we spend working always feel like it's too many. And although we create a logistic balance, in our minds a lot of times there's still that yearning of, I wish I had more time to meditate. More time to be with my family, more time to do the things I want to do, and I had to work less. The key to really maintaining a, not just balanced, but a deeply meaningful and fulfilling and constantly enlightening path is to realize it's all a spiritual practice. Filling your car with gas can be a spiritual practice. Grocery shopping can be a spiritual practice. Certainly cooking is a spiritual practice. Doing your work, whatever it may be, is a spiritual practice. And so rather than thinking that I'm going to create balance by so many minutes over here, so many minutes here, so many minutes there, if I can realize every step I take, every word I speak, everything I do is a spiritual practice, then every minute becomes fulfilling. Every minute becomes meaningful. Every minute is an opportunity to make the choice that I'm going to live grounded and rooted in spirit, in love, in truth, in oneness, rather than in separation or in objectification, in judgment, in ego, in the past or the future. So I have an opportunity every minute to make that my spiritual path. The other really important piece is figuring out what your priorities are. Because a lot of times we end up getting very, very distracted by reactions to the world around us. And so I may have had a to-do list today of things that were important to me to get done. For whatever reason they were important, ranging from a certain number of malas of japa, to certain projects that I want to get finished, to certain follow-ups that have to happen, to maybe a phone call to a loved one. A whole spectrum of different reasons that something would be a priority. But if at some point in the day someone says something or does something and it annoys me or it frustrates me or it's not what I want to happen, I end up spending the rest of my time and energy in reaction to that, either literally giving them a piece of my mind or just drowning in my own mind as it reacts and tries to get calm in the midst of what's just happened. And I end up at the end of the day not having actually done any of the things I wanted to because I'm constantly reacting. Did you see how this one looked at me? Did you see how that one spoke? Who does he think she is? Why did she do that? These people don't know anything. Whatever it may be. And we're constantly living in this state of reaction. And it's really important if we're going to balance to understand what's my priority. And in every minute, to balance what I'm reacting to my priority. Now, of course, even with my to-do list, that's only half the story. The true story of all of those items on my to-do list is my own spiritual awakening. And so the things that I want to get done are all things that are going to be in service of either a meditative practice, one very important aspect of awakening, seva, service, using every minute, every moment as a tool in God's hands, as a clear vessel for God's will to flow, another very essential, crucial aspect of awakening. Another thing, to also be in seva, to be in service of different people. If there's a loved one who's needing something, a phone call that reaches out to them, or a message that reaches out, sending love across the miles, touching someone's heart. So three different examples, three completely different types of things. But each of them is connected because each of them is part for me of that unfolding through realizing my connection with people all over the world, the interlinking of the tapestry of the thread of my life and its impact upon so many others, and responding to that, the seva of just whatever it may be from God, big, small, fun, not fun, glamorous, very unglamorous, interesting, boring, whole spectrum, whatever it may be, just I'm in your hands. Use me. An unfolding for me. But if I don't realize that that's my priority, and then everything that happens in my day, I become like a ping ball machine, like the ball in a pinball machine. You know, somebody pulls it back, pulls that spring back and lets the ball go, and it goes bing, 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 hits here, hits here, hits here. And we literally in our lives sometimes become like that. Get pulled back, fired by something. Then you bang in over here, bang back over here, some bell over here, some light over there. And everywhere we go, everything we do becomes a reaction to all of the different things around us. And that's where it's so important to come back. What is my priority? What's my highest priority? And at every moment to say to ourselves, when our mind is wandering, is this thought I'm having at the moment, is this judgment I'm having at the moment, is this diversion into the past or the future I'm having at the moment, is that worth not being in alignment with my priority? Is it worth getting off the track for? And most of the time, of course, it isn't. But we do it because we're not conscious. And this is where consciousness is the most important, is to be always aware. Always watching. Not with analysis, not with judgment, not pointing fingers, nothing, just loving awareness, loving consciousness, that soft-eyed, compassionate-eyed, loving, like you're watching a child play, just watching our own consciousness. And being present with it. Ah, there's a desire. Ah, there's greed. Ah, there's lust. Ah, there's ego. Just watching. But not getting hooked into any of it. Not allowing any of it to dictate where we go or what we do. And just staying in that space of absolute love-filled awareness, love-filled consciousness. And to just keep bringing ourselves back to it. And it's a wonderful practice, because there's so much to react to in life. Some of it unpleasant, some of it seems pleasant. But ultimately, it's all a distraction. And so if I can just keep bringing the awareness back, and realizing even though it may seem to be enjoyable to get distracted into fantasies of what I'm going to buy when I win the lottery, distracted into desires or even into feelings or thoughts of lust or greed, what I'm going to have, to realize that all of that is just a distraction. And in the same way, thoughts of fear may seem very, very useful. Oh, but I have to think about this. Again, just a distraction. Bring it back to the awareness. Doesn't mean we don't plan. Of course we plan. Pooja Swamiji always says, failing to plan is planning to fail. So we plan. But conscious planning is very different than allowing the mind to just float off on waves of anxiety or waves of fear or waves of rumination. If I'm planning, I'm planning. That's what I'm doing in this moment. And then when I'm done planning, I'm done planning. And when I'm not planning, every time the mind goes into fear, into anxiety, into desire, to just bring it back to awareness. Just like we do when we meditate. I always say the meditation is a skill that we learn, and of course the meditation itself is enlightening, but it's also a habit, a skill that we get for moving through the rest of our lives as well. And in the same way that we just keep bringing our mind back when we meditate, in the same way we just keep coming back to total awareness. Just awareness. Not having to do something about it. Not having to react. But just being able to be still in the awareness.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth radio is conscious living for your soul every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Baldwin with People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. I grew up loving circuses and other traveling animal shows, but it never occurred to me what life might be like for the animals. Training wild animals to do things they don't understand takes force. Routine discipline with a hook or whip with the heel of a boot shows the animal exactly who's the boss. Don't patronize animal acts. Please contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
757-622-PETA.
Welcome back. This is Sadhvi Bhagavati Saraswati with Inspiration and Transformation. How do you control emotions of grief and anger? First of all, it's really important to realize that on a spiritual path, in a spiritual opening, it's not about putting aspects of who you are into a vice. It's not about squeezing the life out of different parts of who you are that you may not like, that may not seem to be in alignment with where you're going. It's not about pushing things. It's not about denying or repression or suppression. The control over our emotions comes when we are anchored into something that is deeper and stiller. So it's not that I'm pushing away grief or pushing away anger or repressing grief or repressing anger or suppressing them in any way. It's that I anchor into something that is deeper than the anger, that is more stable than the anger, that is truer than the anger. And when I'm anchored in that, even though, sure, people may say or do things that if I had a magic wand, I would wave away and make them say or do something differently. Even though things may happen in the universe that if I had a magic wand, I might make happen differently. I don't lose myself in anger. Anger is when I lose myself in that situation. Anger is the overtaking of my consciousness by my unconsciousness or my subconsciousness, by my patterns. I lose myself in anger. That's why so many of us, when we're angry, we say or do things that later on we think, oh my God, I can't believe I did that. Or when we're apologizing to someone, we say, that wasn't me. I don't know who that was. I don't know what happened. But obviously it was us. I mean, some other being from another planet didn't, you know, crawl into our brains through our ears or our nostrils and suddenly take over our tongue, take over control of our arms or our legs and make us do things. So who was it? If we say, oh, that wasn't me. Well, who was it? It was me. It just wasn't what you could call the capital M me, the higher me, the fuller me, the truer me. It was the pre-programmed me. It was the me stuck in a rut me. Me and my subconscious autopilot me. Me and all of the ways that I've been programmed and patterned to behave my whole life. So when I'm free of those patterns, then anger no longer has the ability to make me its slave. I'm able to recognize it. I'm able to say, oh yeah, I can feel it coming. I can feel it coming. Somebody says something or does something or something happens. And instead of suddenly finding yourself with your fist punched through a wall, or your hand having slapped someone, or your hand having ingested a six-pack of beer, or your hand having done any one of 100 other things we later regret. Instead of that, what ends up happening is you're able to see that rise of anger. You're able to start seeing that pattern coming and realize, oh, I don't want that. I don't need to be angry. And so you don't lose yourself in it. And slowly, slowly, what actually ends up happening is you find yourself so grounded and so anchored that, yeah, you can see what people are saying or doing, you see what's happening, but it no longer has the ability to provoke you like that. You never even can imagine who that being would be who would punch their hand through a wall or hit someone or go drown themselves in alcohol or drugs based on the words or actions of another. So we literally disconnect completely from being so hooked in to what's happening around us. So that's the way that we deal with anger or any of the emotions that just sweep us up. Is don't try to push them away. Don't try to repress them or suppress them or squeeze them. It'll just pop out somewhere else. But rather, ask yourself, who is it? Who is it in me that's acting in anger when I know it's not me? Half an hour from now, I'm going to say that wasn't me. So why give that other being control of my brain and my tongue and my hands and my legs unnecessarily? I know I'm going to regret it. It's like, would you give your car keys to your five-year-old? Right? Your five-year-old gets a truck, runs it around the house, loves it, and then says, I know, Mom, give me the keys to the car. You understand if he takes the keys, he's going to wreck the car or kill himself. You'd never give it to him and then say, oh, I don't know what happened. In the same way, why give ourselves over to unconsciousness? Why give ourselves over to these patterns that just keep coming up over and over again? We know it's not us. An hour later, we say, that wasn't me. But rather than getting judgmental and saying, oh, can't believe I did that again, stop it in the act. Don't allow yourself to act in such unconsciousness. Stay grounded, stay anchored in love. Realize, okay, that person, whoever's doing that, they're in the throes of their own ignorance, their own fear, their own confusion, their own anger. That's why they're sharing that with me. I can only infect you with something that I have, right? These days with our social distancing, it's to protect ourselves if the person we are staying distant from has coronavirus, or protect them from us if we have it. But if neither of us has it, neither of us can give it to the other. I can only give you what I have. And in the same way, if someone is giving us pain and misery, you can be pretty sure that that's what they have. And so when they give it to us, say, all right, and we move on. We don't allow it to trigger ourselves. And this is where I always talk about that spiritual immune system, right? I mean, these days it's all about our physical immune system. Are you getting enough sleep? Are you getting sunshine? Are you getting vitamin C? Drinking enough water, taking care of yourself. Got to get that immune system as strong, robust, mazboot, as we say in Hindi. In the same way, though, we have our spiritual immune systems. People are always going to say and do things that are not what we want. The universe is always going to act in ways that is not what we want. But if you move through the physical world with a weakened immune system, you're going to catch not only the coronavirus, but you're going to catch everything. Every time the weather changes and somebody's got a cold, you'll get it. Every time somebody sneezes, you'll catch it. And in the same way, if your spiritual immune system is weak, every time that something happens in the universe that isn't what you want, you're going to lose yourself. You're going to get angry. You're going to be miserable. You're going to feel jealous, competitive, frustrated, angry, despairing. And so it's important to make sure that our spiritual immune system is really strong. Because, yeah, people are going to keep acting in their ways. The universe is going to keep acting in its way. And this is why we strengthen our spiritual immune systems with our meditation, with our seva, with our prayers, with our chanting, with our introspection. So that we're not limited to just, you know, to protect ourselves physically. We're limited to our homes. Stay inside. Fine, for right now, for coronavirus, we need to. We're doing it. We hope you're doing it. But spiritually, we don't want to be living in a situation in our lives where there's only certain people we can talk to, certain places we can go, because otherwise I get angry. Otherwise, I lose my peace. You don't want to be so fragile spiritually that everything that happens, you lose yourself. Got to get that spiritual immune system strong. So that's the best way to deal with whether it's anger, whatever emotion it is. But lastly, you mentioned grief also. And I want to just touch on grief for a moment separately, because sometimes the very best way to deal with grief is to just be sad. Grief is a very, very normal and natural reaction to loss. We grieve when a loved one dies, or divorces us, or moves away. And in our lives, there's a lot of things that we lose. And grief is very natural. So if you're feeling grief, don't try to push it away. A lot of times people say, oh, don't be sad, don't be sad, don't be sad. And of course, that doesn't work. It just makes whoever is sad feel silly for being sad. So now you feel embarrassed in addition to being sad. If grief is there in your life, it tends not to usually be a very long-lasting experience, even when we've experienced a horrible tragedy. We grieve for a while, and then we move on. And yeah, it's a new normal. Nothing goes back to the way it was. But we recalibrate, we readjust in that new normal, in that loss. And that's a really important part of growth. So grief is slightly different from some of the other emotions that we would rather be free of. If grief is there, allow yourself to just be sad. That's okay. It's very normal. It's very natural. It'll take its time. And then like a wave, out of the grief will come joy. Or out of the grief will come laughter. Or out of the grief, I mean, emotions are waves. In one moment it's grief, and then the next moment it's joy. Because you remember something the person you're grieving said, and suddenly you're full of joy. And then suddenly you're full of love, because then you remember how much you love them, and you're full of love for them. And then you're full of grief. And then again, you're full of joy. So whatever's up, when it's real, when it's really in that moment, pure feeling, let it be there. Just be present with it. Don't give in to the story or the drama. Don't rehearse your script and your part. Just be present. Allow it. And then like a wave, it'll peak and it'll subside. This brings to a close this hour of inspiration and transformation. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm so glad to be together with you all each week, and I look forward to being together again next Thursday, same time, on OM Times Radio.